Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With me today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. And Daniel, good to see you.
How are you this morning, Dr. Paul?
Good. Are you recovering from watching what's going on with our elections? Or
the excitement is so great.
I guess liberty has been restored, so yes. Maybe we won't have anything to talk about. But quite to the contrary, it seems like the atmosphere right now is more necessary than ever to try to keep track of what's happening. You know, I was at first today thinking that because of our elections, we haven't talked too much about the wars that we're fighting overseas, which is we're trying to stop, you know, because we're participating in way too many. But then I decided, well, there's a lot of wars going on here, political wars and some wars on the street, some threats from the radical left and of course, what's going on in the Congress with the administration. But the big event, we mentioned it yesterday about Sessions. So Sessions is, you know, has lost his job. He got fired by Trump from being Attorney General. Now there's a stand-in for him. His chief of staff is the temporary Attorney General. But the left has not waited long to lay their plans. I was really impressed with this story about, you know, within less than 24 hours, 900 rallies are organized over the country to protest this appointment and firing of Sessions. So I wonder if they knew what was coming. I didn't know the left was so hostile so friendly toward Sessions. Here they're going after Trump for firing Sessions. So I guess Sessions wasn't really hurting their cause, or just what was going on.
Well, it looks like it's all politics, because as you point out, it's almost as if they, you know, maybe they watched our show, because remember you said that Sessions needed to go. Maybe we triggered the left or the resistance or whatever they're called. But yeah, within 24 hours, they had a bunch of websites up. They're all AstroTurf websites. It's a kind of a phony coalition, because if you scratch a little bit at the surface, you'll see George Soros, MoveOn.org, of course, he's given millions to. There's the parent organization. There's other ones. TrumpIsNotAboveTheLaw.org and March for Truth. They all sound similar because they're all similar organizations. But as you say, 900 coordinated rallies. That someone should hire them for a campaign, because that's pretty good. You know, websites, all sorts of things. You know, it's sort of the organization reminds you of the people that were trained by the State Department who went back and did the Arab Spring, how they could coordinate the protests.
Yeah, well, and the other thing in the system, I think Soros has a couple bucks saved up.
That's true, he does have a couple.
It looks like he's trying to use some up. I don't care who uses them up, I just don't want him to be too victorious, because I don't believe that he's much of a libertarian, to say the least.
On many things.
But the big question, does anybody have a legitimate concern about what's going on? What's it going to do to the Mueller investigation? Matthew Whitaker is taking over, and he has not been a government official, which means he is going to be better qualified. But he was chief of staff for Sessions, and he's been appointed, the acting attorney general. So a lot will fall on him, possibly. He might be the one to make a determination of how the Mueller investigation winds down, or what information is released to the public. So he could turn out to be a very important individual. So not only will the people be upset, or the left be upset about firing of Sessions, but they may be real upset about the person coming in, and they'll probably, and they probably already have, demand an investigation, and he better recuse himself, and on. So I think the cohesiveness and the tranquility in this country indicates that there's a war going on. It's social, and it's violent now, becoming more violent. And then we also have the major concerns about our borders, you know, where there's several different opinions about that. And that's still is a significant event to be dealt with.
And, you know, these people, the resistance, whatever you want to call them, were relatively silent in the few weeks before the elections. You didn't hear a lot of yelling about the Mueller investigation. But now they've come out with full force. And it's kind of the first thing I thought is, you know, very frustrated at being beaten at the ballot box for these tactics. You know, they didn't resonate with the American people. They didn't get the blue wave they wanted. So what do? They return to the same tactics that turned so many people off, preventing them from electoral victories, and ramp those up again. You know,
some of the things that they do from the far left doesn't make a lot of sense, because sometimes they'll eat their own and they'll cause conflict. But if their goal is, which has been mentioned and we've alluded to, is maybe chaos is their goal. And that seems to be sometimes all that results, and some people lose credibility, but chaos seems to be winning out on this. I mean, just think of who would have ever thought that a guy like Tucker would be on under attack, and people was camping out there and threatened violence. You know, I wonder how much violence they can threaten before something has to be done about it. But he's going to have to be awfully careful, you know, on how he moves around town, you know, with the threats that were going on there.
And that's crazy. He's a guy who talks on TV. You know, he doesn't go out beating people. He talks on TV. They showed up at his house. They broke his door. They said, "We know where you sleep." Now, he's got a youngish family. He's got kids there. It just shows how far things have gone. But, you know, you mentioned Matthew Whitaker, and it's interesting. They're furious that he's taking over. And you think, well, why? He doesn't seem like, you know. But what it is that irritates these people is a couple of things he's written. He did a piece where he thought that the Mueller investigation should be somewhat limited. It shouldn't have a broad, you know. But the other thing he did, which I think really infuriated them, is he wrote a piece for The Hill a little while back saying that, hey, he would have prosecuted Hillary for this server. He said she took a secret server, put it in her house, highly classified material. We know it was hacked by foreign governments and adversaries. We know all of this. He wrote in his piece, if anyone had done that, a military officer, anyone else who had done something like that, they would have been prosecuted, and he would have prosecuted too. He thought that he liked Comey, he said. This was around the time of Comey's firing. Good guy, but this was a wrong thing.
You know, I don't know how many rules there are about when you must, or if there is any rule that says you have to recuse yourself. I always thought that was a voluntary thing, and it sounded like it was when Sessions recused himself. But now the left is insisting that Whitaker recuse himself, that he's spoken out and made these opinion. But it seems to me that they've rejected the whole notion that the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, is in charge. He might do way more than we want him to do, but he still is the one that appoints the cabinet. He's the one that can fire people. And this whole idea that some mob mentality can come over and say, if you do that, you know, this is what we're going to threaten you with. We're going to close down government, and we're going to send out mobs to threaten your friends and this sort of thing. But I think that, you know, recusing oneself, especially if he did that soon, would be rolling over. I think maybe Trump's learned his lesson, because he wasn't too satisfied with his first pick, an attorney general. But it seems to me, and I think most people recognize that he had the right to fire him anytime he wanted, even though they wouldn't let you believe that. But it's the political ramifications that you shouldn't ignore. But that's more or less what has hamstrung him. But we'll have to wait and see, because the left is going to, you're pointing out how upset they're going to be with Whitaker.
It's funny. They act as if they're surprised. You know, Trump has only been saying for at least a year, I got to get rid of this Jeff Sessions. He's doing nothing. He's asleep at the wheel. I got to get rid of this guy. And then when he finally does, it's a big surprise. And here's one of the quotes from the protests. They said, make a public demand for action to correct this injustice. They hated Jeff Sessions. It's a great injustice to fight. They hated him. The ACLU, at least, from their own perspective, they had something that came out today saying Sessions was the worst attorney general in modern history. The resistance types, the left, they hated him. Now all of a sudden he's a martyr, and that's the sad part. It's just for very political reasons.
You know, and sometimes people don't respond to reason like they should, but sometimes mocking and making fun of people can have an effect. And in a way, that's what you're touching on. It's just so ridiculous, so inconsistent. It gets to be so silly, and why do people buy into this? But it also is an indication of the division that's in the country, because, you know, the hard left they're expecting this and they want it. They're going to be furious, you know, if the House of Representatives doesn't bring down the whole country, you know, so to speak. They're going to have, and there's going to be a bunch, no matter what Pelosi said yesterday, I think there's going to be a bunch of people, you know, looking to for impeachment, which they're not going to accomplish. But there's going to be people arguing that case. But quite frankly, I think that Pelosi and the Democrats are, it's not going to be all smooth sailing. Yes, election night, this is great. We won. We're in a Boston. We can investigate. We control the judicial system. You know, we have all the investigations that we can do. But I think there are divisions, probably every bit, if not stronger, in the Democratic caucus as they were in the Republican conference.
And the funny thing is how Trump knows how to get under people's skin. He tweeted yesterday, oh, great job, Pelosi. If you need some help, we'll get some Republicans to get you elected speaker. You know, he just knows how to push the button. But what's hilarious is the hypocrisy, and it's so blatant. It is almost comical as well. The head of the DNC, Perez, here's what he tweeted yesterday. Firing Sessions is worse than Watergate. Here's what he tweeted in February 26, 2017. Sessions cannot investigate any possible Russian connection because he's too close to the Trump campaign. So which one is it? You had also everyone's talking about what Jerry Nadler has done. And here's what he did yesterday. America must have answers immediately as to the reasons behind Trump's removal of Jeff Sessions from the Justice Department. Now, here's him from last March, March of 17. Quote, good morning. In case anyone forgot, Jeff Sessions must resign as Attorney General. He cannot possibly lead the Department of Justice to promote trust and the rule of law.
Well, he could be fired for being AWOL. Yeah. You know, what has he done? About the only thing he's done, which has been annoying, and that is to interfere with getting rid of some of these laws against marijuana.
Yeah.
And that in itself, you know, with his firing, there's some investors that were so happy with it. Anybody has had money in a company that deals with marijuana, those stocks went real high because he's got now, and maybe they'll let it proceed where there'll be more legalization. But that of course, is a mixed bag. But I think that Trump probably was sympathetic with that position, but hopefully I don't know what Whitaker's position would be, but maybe they'll learn a lesson that the country and the people are way ahead of them on that issue.
I did see something interesting. I was digging up when Whitaker was named acting. He was running for office. I forget what it was exactly, but he was running for office, and he said if he's elected, I think it's for the Senate. He says if he's elected, he wants to be more like Rand Paul. So that might be a good sign. I don't know. But here's something from the New York Times today. And you talked earlier about what the president's authority is with regard to his staff, the executive branch. And, you know, you've been the most critical of many people on abuse of executive power. But this seems to us, I think, as an area where the president has legitimate authority. Imagine if someone told you you couldn't fire your chief of staff or someone who was messing up in your office. But here's what the New York Times says. I think almost comical as well. This is their headline today. Jeff Sessions is forced out as attorney general as Trump installs a loyalist. Well, aren't you supposed to install a loyalist as your own staff? What should he have? He should have installed Jerry Nadler?
And he never even checked with Pelosi on what he should do.
I mean, it's just comical.
Yeah, that is obvious that the chaos is going to continue. But I still think that we don't concentrate in general on the war going on in this country. You know, the enemies, domestic and foreign, we talk about the foreign, and we do talk about the domestic threats, but there's so much as a threat, you know, in general. And on this Russiagate investigation, the frustration has to be great for me and others on all sides about the judicial system. You know, this whole thing on this Russiagate, this is a little bit too long for something that they're not going to find anything. And if they do, nobody's going to believe them anyway. So this is the problem that we have, that people feel so helpless. And then people look at, you know, what's happening in migration. whether that's an exaggeration or a real threat, it should be a concern. Mainly, my concern that I've always argued is, well, yes, a lot of people have come. A lot of people will come. It's going to cost a lot of money, and we're broke. And a little bit of leniency in immigration is one thing. But when you subsidize it and finance it, it just doesn't make any sense. And yet, that is what's likely to happen. But Trump, I think, has sensed that there's a lot of people who say no. But that comes across as, we hate immigrants. Mm-hmm. We know we're not going to do it. It isn't because of the welfare system. There's nobody in government, except a couple, who would take the position, well, don't give them welfare. Well, then that is the worst discrimination in the world. There's two classes of citizens that are here. You have to give free stuff to everybody. And now that we're electing devout socialists to the Congress, they say you can never do this. Well, that's true. You should be consistent. We should get rid of the welfare system, you know, but which is the bigger hurdle. And that's why once immigrants get here, legal or illegal, there's always going to be a burden. And when you see 15,000 or more, millions now we're talking about that come that are illegal, there is an economic burden on there. And too often they couch this in terms of discrimination. And I like to think more about this invasion, this attack on the American way of life, as being something that is dealing with property rights. Who yeah. pays the bills? And nobody that's all for this, they never argue the case that, yes, bring them in and we're going to open up our doors, especially, you know, Hollywood. They're going to open up their doors
yeah, right.
for people now, you know, where they put the immigrants and to be taken care of. So I think there's a lot of things going on. And right now, the election hasn't made that confrontation any less. It's probably going to be more vitriolic. You know, they're going to be really yelling and screaming, and boy, they didn't waste any time. They are organized. 900 rallies going up in less than 24 hours. They had it planned. That's a little bit, you know, good planning. And I think that the same type of planning, the same individuals, the best we can tell, that can put a caravan together.
Yeah.
And, you know, when they get tired, they have a bus come along and help them out. And, you know, so it's, but I think that is a threat. It does not produce tranquility in this country. As far as I'm concerned, the only thing that produces tranquility to a large degree with prosperity is some type of understanding about what personal liberty is all about.
Yeah, and, you know, we do use the left as shorthand, and we, you know, we do have a lot of allies on the left who don't buy into this garbage. You know, this is more like the globalist neoliberal types, you know, and there are plenty of progressives who reject this phony Russiagate stuff, and there are plenty of good progressives who reject a lot of the stuff we're talking about. So it's, we do tend to generalize, and it's easy to do that. But, you know, on the immigration thing, we both read this good piece by Tom Luongo today, and he was talking about how when his immigrant family came, you know, his grandparents' generation, there was no handouts. You got here, and it was a land of opportunity. Same was true with my immigrant ancestors. If the same was the case, and I'm sure for yours as well. And that in that case, we wouldn't have to be anti-immigration if we had a system in place where you could better yourself.
Well, the big question, I think, is why are we in this mess right now? Why is there so much confrontation? Why is there more hate than ever before and more conflict? And I think there is an explanation about it. The one thing that I've emphasized, you know, for a good many years, more so recently, is the division of prosperity. And that's a consequence of spending debt in the Federal Reserve, that the distribution of new money always goes to a certain class, the upper class, and that the middle class suffers, and the middle class gets wiped out, and the cost of living punishes the poor and the middle class more. And that's turned into conflict. And it gives an opening, even though it's in total error, for the socialists to come along and see what capitalism did, see, and therefore we need socialism. But I think we're in this crisis right now. I think it's going to get a lot worse because they're not really addressing the subject. Because I believe that we're in the middle or the beginning of the end of a big era the progressive era, the last 100 plus years of big government spending, welfareism, foreign policy intervention, Federal Reserve, inflationism, is coming to an end. And the best way to measure that is a debt that can't be repaid. And all they can do is run up more debt and try to fool the people. Well, less people are getting fooled, and they're resorting to demagoguing and getting, joining people who will spew out the conflict of class warfare. And so therefore, we can expect that to get much worse because they're really not talking about the issue they have to talk about. And that is what we promote here in this program, that we promote peace and prosperity by saying that you need liberty. You don't need more government. You don't need the socialists in government. You don't need more crony capitalists. We don't need a more efficient Federal Reserve system. And that will not, solve our problems. And I think that this was once pretty well understood by our country in our early years. In the last 100 years and the last 20 years, our foreign policy just keeps deteriorating. We have been involved a lot in the 20th century, but right now we're involved in an aggressive manner. We're in too many countries, too many places, and the big hurdle there is what they won't admit to. This is bipartisan. The problems I just described, they're supported by the Republican leaders and the Democratic leader. So unless people recognize that we're struggling for the end of an era that both sides endorse, and they don't know what to do because they do want power and they claim they have the answers, they say, vote for me. Vote for this party versus that party, and that'll solve it. Guess what? The Republicans haven't done a very good job. They had the House, the Senate, and the presidency, and the budget went up, more spending. So it's going to take a lot more of that, and it can't happen unless the American people wake up and say they've had enough of it. That's what happened in the 60s when they said they had enough of Vietnam. Unfortunately, it took too long to finally stop it, but the American people have to wake up and say, we've had enough of it, but not to go to the socialists and say, what we want is socialism. Yeah, we love Venezuela, so we'd like to mimic Venezuela and Cuba. No, it's a bit total insanity. We've had a taste of liberty. We know what it's all about. The American people need to know more about it. The young people need to galvanize around that issue because they should have the most interest in this for their future. But the problems are there. But in many ways, I believe that our message is getting through. There are a lot of people out there. You wouldn't know it by this election, and you wouldn't know it by going to Washington, D.C. But outside of Washington, people are disgusted. They think 68% of the American people now don't even trust the government. The judicial system is a mess. And when they look at these problems, and when you look at a Mueller investigation, think, there's justice coming. We can't interfere with that. So that's how distracted we are from the real issue. So I vote for dealing with the real issues, and that is dealing with liberty. And that is the reason I believe that is the road to peace and prosperity. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.